Thank you for calling the Cobras and Fire podcast. This call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Gracias por llamar al podcast de Cobras y Fire. Eres un idiota. Estamos raspando sus datos a medida que lo engañamos con indicaciones sin sentido.
If you are calling because you accidentally left a 5-star review when you meant to leave 51-star reviews, press 1. If you are calling because your teenage son started referring to members of the female persuasion as squish, press 3. If you are calling to correct something one of the hosts said about Canada, press 4. If you are calling to complain about the condition a public restroom was left in by one of the hosts, press 5. If you are calling because you are Eddie Trunk and you find it confusing when people say they heard you on the Cobras and Fire podcast, press 6. If you are calling for any other reason, press 0. If this is Tommy Lee and you are only calling because you accidentally but dialed us, that's totally red, bro.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek podcast.
I pull out of the driveway and head out on the highway, and I can see them in my rearview mirror, hanging out the window, snapping a shot of me. And so I pull into the fast lane, nobody's getting past me, and I can hear the helicopters coming. Driving down the street is such a pain in the ass for me. And God, I wanna know why whoever said it was painless, you try and be famous. You know that I'm just living life, but nothing's for free. Let's see what they say first, front page of the papers. Some days I find it bleeding out. I don't wanna be me, just trying to be.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Lewis Cannon, and I am joined, as always, with the Minaj Baco. How are you, sir?
I am rad bananas, Lewis Cannon. Mm-hmm. Nice. Epic. Nice. Epic, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been listening to that Tommy Lee's wife's podcast, and my vocabulary has been changing quite a bit, brah.
Yeah, I listened to seven minutes of it. I hit the seven-minute mark, but I understand you went all the way through. Why? Because you do it for the show.
Yes, for the love of the Cobras and the Fire. But yeah, we'll get into that a little bit. I'm actually in a pretty good mood, but I'm also a little bit trepidatious. As you know, I've had a bit of a financial windfall. I got my reports back and my royalty for January 2019 streaming royalties came in.
Oh, good.
I made the mistake of posting about it on Facebook because now I'm worried that family members are going to be calling to ask and borrow money. But yeah, I got 19 cents.
Ooh, is that for 1 month or for the quarter?
That's just 1 month, baby. I could be looking at 19 cents every month.
Now, understand that that does need to go directly to our Buy Us a Beer fund. So I need you to transfer that over. There's only a 5% fee to transfer it.
Let me
PayPal.
Just so that I'll, in about 62 months, I'll be buying us a beer, bitch.
Perfect. Excellent.
So, yeah, thank you, Stephen Michael, for listening to my catalog 8 million times.
Exactly. Oh.
Man, that guy, mad respect for his commitment. That's all I'm getting at there. But,
that's right. I mean, come on. Spin on it.
And I don't know if we've talked about it yet on the show, Luce, but we are officially going to be at Rockin' Pod 3 in Nashville on August 10th, our third year back.
That's right. I'm going to go. I haven't bought any tickets nor asked for vacation time off of work or paid anything for the hotel. Yeah. You've done all those things, I believe. But yeah, I'm going. Sure.
I've asked. I got the time off at work, booked my plane, and booked the hotel. So,
And hid some of the money from make sure that nobody sees it on the credit card statement.
Yeah, I'm chipping away at it. 19 cents going right towards Rockin' Pod, baby.
Sure.
Yeah. So hopefully I'll have it paid off by August with my streaming royalties.
Yeah. So we'd love to see some of you in person to actually have not a virtual beer but an actual real beer with you and hang out, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if you do stop by and you want to head over and say hi to us. We're pretty accessible. We're also probably the tallest people in the room. So
that's correct. And best looking, obviously. Best,
yes. Yeah, we are the panty droppers of the Rock and Pod community. That's for
sure.
Which is not
difficult, just so you understand.
No, wasn't really much of an achievement.
And you got to realize what
sorry,
kind of panties
Joey Haney.
But then you got to realize what kind of panties are dropping, too.
Oh, but anyway, you can find out more details. I don't know. I share some stuff on Facebook, but just go to rockinpod.com, buy some tickets, fly out to Nashville. It's a good time. I guarantee you'll enjoy it. If not, I'll tweet about it afterwards. As we get closer, you know, each episode will probably drop a little bit more information on our end as far as who you can find there. But again, you can find it all at rockinpod.com as well as the hotel. All the everything that you need to know is there. So otherwise, just message me. I'll give you Chris Sinzak's personal cell phone number, and you can just call him and sort all the details out with him. He's happy to help. Oh, but hey, man, let's drink some beer. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, we have one of my long lost loves in the beer community as a purchase tonight. This comes to us from Bill Elam, who is an active commenter on all sorts of podcast pages that I run into him on. A great supporter of just the whole community in general, and fortunately for us, a follower of our show. So Bill contributed to our Bias of Beer program, and he bought something I got wicked wasted on way too much in my 20s, and that is George Killian's Irish Red. I'm ready to crack this fucker open and relive some memories tonight, man.
Oh, I already have cracked it open and I'm half done. I didn't follow the rules, and I have not had this in probably 25 years. I think the last time I had this, I also chased this with a Red Dog.
Oh yeah. Now what was the there was another red one, Red Wolf.
Actual
red beer. Red Dog was just like a beer that was basically, I'm pretty sure that beer was made just to have stuffed animal prizes at state fairs.
Yeah, the inside of the cap would have little sayings and a paw print. That was the whole thing with that one. It was terrible beer, but you could buy a case of it for just like as cheap as Natural Light. But anyway, I just find it amusing that I had to find when I was at Total Wine that I couldn't find a Killian's anywhere because it was in the quote import section, imported from St. Louis.
I had a hard time for a different reason.
What's that?
It was right after St. Patrick's Day. They were sold out. I actually found one in the singles aisle looking for the Metallica beer when I was doing that whole deal. So
oh,
I just fucking grabbed it. You know, I'm like, I was planning on buying a six-pack of this and one Metallica beer, and I ended up buying a six-pack of the Metallica thing and one of these. But, I think that's also kind of stupid. It's like, look, I enjoy this beer, but if this is your go-to Irish beer, I mean...
I apologize. This is actually made in town. This is made right at the Coors factory in Golden.
Yeah, sure is. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So I could have just driven down there and grabbed this.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Maybe just passed
imported,
out there too.
So imported from Colorado.
All right. Well, I'm going to open mine. Or do you want to give your review while opening?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Get to it. I'll give you my review. Is not that bad. I haven't had this for a long time, but you know, it's got a little bit of a hop to it.
Oh, I got a volcano going here.
Oh, nice.
Hold on. I had to suck the head.
I would rephrase that.
Old times, my friend. Yes, I'm going to wake up somewhere tonight.
Yes, it's brewed in the Irish tradition, of course.
Ah, the Irish.
Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can call 877-GK1 Rish, just so you know, it's right on the side. Your review?
Delicious. Where have you been, my friend? Why do I only have one of you? I really enjoyed this stuff, especially, you know, when I was a little whippersnapper running around being a little punk. No, this is good stuff. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. You too can contribute to our Bias of Beer program. Why don't you tell them how to do that, Loose Cannon?
Sure. So you can go to gofundme.com/absolutelydrink, or for your convenience, you can go to our Facebook page, and right on the top is the Shop Now button. It'll take you right to there. So $5, get us a beer, you get a shout out, we review it, and most importantly, you help support the show, and it helps us more than Baco's royalties.
That definitely does. 60 times more in one donation. But if you'd like to help us out, if you'd like to help out the show in other ways, just like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/CobrasAndFire. Follow us on Twitter at CobrasFire. If you would like to join the shenanigans that we have in our little private group, Cobras on Fire, just send us a join request. You can just search that on Facebook. You can also leave us a rating and review anywhere that lets you, iTunes, Podchaser, even Facebook. I think you can still comment there. Or just comment on any of our posts. We'll end up reading some of these. So, and of course, be like our friends Bill Elam, Jay Zablusky, and many others, and please share any episode that tickles your fancy. That's a great way to get the name out there. And again, those are ways to help us without, for free, basically. You can also find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, pretty much anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Luis, I have a comment from the listeners. You mind if I get into one?
Please.
This comes from Neil Hansen, at least a fairly new commenter on the Facebook page. All right, well, so Neil was commenting on our St. Anger episode. He said, the Best Buy St. Anger Gnarls Barkley story was wrong. Wrong. As you said, St. Anger came out in 2003, but Gnarls Barkley didn't release their debut album until 2006. Luce, get your head out of your ass, Luce Cannon. That last part was me. That was not Neil. But thank you, Neil. Do you have anything to have any comments?
New fact bastard. I got to tell you, I saw that, and I was actually
we
on
have a
my
new
little...
fact bastard, by the way.
I know, but I was relaxing by the pool on my whole vacation, and I pulled up the page. I told myself not to do it. That was the one time I did pull it up. And I sat and I was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, no, this guy is wrong. So I immediately went to Wikipedia. I'm like, it came out in 2006. I'm like, this can't be. I remember listening to this. And then I realized in my little mind that it was as crazy as it is a crazy infectious song. And I had switched in my head that Hey Ya song by Outkast.
That's racist, man.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. Plus, one guy is really skinny, and one guy is a short, little fat guy. So I can tell the difference. But that was in my head because it was something off the beaten path that I'd purchased. So you are correct. And that was the thing too. Is I was like, what was it? And I had to actually look at what albums came out in 2003 that were big, and I found that. So that is the reality.
Bonus points for Rooney and Luce Cannon's romantic getaway. I just you're out by the pool, you know. Meanwhile, I'm in February. I'm in an outdoor hot tub with Ron Keel, and you're off on some tropical vacation.
Yeah, I know. And the funny thing about that is that the wife is like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "I have to do some research. Give me a minute."
1, 2, 3. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. Oh,
smiling face and loose and loose. Shake it, shake it, baby doll. Shake it on the floor. Get on the floor. Shake it like I'm on the white picture. Shake it, you know what to shake it. Shake it, shake it, shake it. Shake it like I'm on the white picture.
I wanted to take a quick minute to thank Danko for coming back on the program, as we're such, we're basically his, I don't know, we might as well be his fan club here at Cobras and Fire. But thank you, Danko. It was a great interview. And thanks to Mackenzie over at Fly PR for setting that up.
Yeah, the best thing about that interview was the fact that he will probably be touring in the U.S. this year. Based on him saying he finally has a U.S. label.
He definitely says it's
that's encouraging.
It's much more a possibility than it has been in the past.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And yeah, you never think about that too. It's like, why are these bands, not just him, but other bands, like stay in the same country, like go to Canada all the time or go to Europe or go wherever they go? It's because they have support from either a branch of that music label or whatnot. So if you don't have somebody in America, you don't have anybody fighting for you. So I thought that was interesting.
Sure. Money, 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 money.
That's right.
But anyway, you know, Danko was on our podcast. We talked about his podcast, and there is another person, you know, every minute, I suppose there is, but someone that we near and dear to our hearts, Tommy Lee. He has a new wife, and she is joining the podcast universe with the rest of us. Have you, well, I already know you did. We both checked out her show, Worst First.
How did I even get that? I forget what the article was that led me to that.
I was on Blabbermouth or something. It was just like Tommy Lee tells his wife about his first time he screwed a black lady or something. You know, it's about the worst first dates. And apparently she had a YouTube show on this topic. And
what is her name, though?
You're going to really pin me on faxed?
I'm sorry.
This is Tommy Lee.
That's right. His fourth wife. And
yeah, fourth? Are you sure it's not fifth? Let's just go with fourth.
Again, facts. Let's just go with fourth.
We'll wait for Neil to let us know.
Well, I mean, come on. There's Heather Locklear. There's
Pamela Anderson. Maite.
And there's the lady that he punched in the face in the bus.
Yeah, but according to my wife, who's probably a better source than we are, they never actually got married.
All right.
They got engaged. She fucked Nikki and broke up.
Oh, excellent.
But yeah, Tommy, yeah, he got married, and I got to tell you, I think he found his intellectual equivalent in a mate. you know, Tommy Lee married the OMG emoji.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my Lord. There's some gold in that first podcast. I mean, first of all, I think Tommy is eating like an orange or something the entire time, or sipping like coconut milk or something. Yeah, yeah. And it's weird. There's like this endearing quality about Tommy, but he's also just dumb as a brick.
It doesn't suck.
I just, and yeah, his wife.
It doesn't suck.
She says bananas quite a bit.
Bananas. This is... bananas.
Did you hear the story about the Motley Crue groupies pulling the distributor cap out of their limo?
Like I said, I couldn't make it more than 5-7 minutes, just because I was like, who thinks it's a good idea to give your wife a podcast and then you guest on the first episode?
Tommy
Lee. Very odd. I gotta tell you, I think that Motley Crue is gonna start suing them for screwing up their name brand again, just like the Tommy Lee Goes to College. These are all terrible ideas.
What did you think about the theme music right at the beginning, at the opening of the show? I'm pretty sure it's from the scene in 16 Candles where Molly Ringwald and Jake or whatever finally sit on for some reason they have to sit on the table in front of a cake with candles. I think that's the music that was playing right there is what she opens her show with. So.
Wow. Okay. So John Hughes can sue them for the grave.
There you go. So Tommy tells about, I don't know, when he was
bananas.
17, some girl that he didn't find attractive had a Corvette. So he fucked her and Vince and Nikki came in while they were banging on the in the living room floor. It's just funny listening to Tommy talking about, he's like, you know, so she's laying there and then. So I kind of climb up on top of her and start fucking her.
I get on top of her and I start fucking her.
It's just like, okay.
Did you know that was the first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird?
But I also found out that he in his book Tommyland, have you read that? I have not.
Why would I read that?
It's I have no idea.
It's one of those things.
Because maybe this will be a surprise to you too, but apparently he actually has parts of the book written by his penis.
I'm surprised Tommyland just isn't a rebranded version of Candyland. You just open it up. There's no dice. You move only with picking the cards with colors. That's the only game you can deal with.
God. Well, I don't know.
What is Candyland? What is inside of Tommyland? What do you think?
It's just got to be basically, like I said, he says there's parts where the book where his penis comes in and takes over and then describes what's going on.
Does Vince Neil have his own book too?
Yeah, and they all have like little books with record tie-ins. Is that where you're going with this?
I don't know. Does Mick Mars have one too?
Yeah, well, Mick hasn't written one yet. He's got an album coming out possibly. Maybe he'll have a book with that titled the same thing like these guys did. Tommyland, Tattoos and Tequila, and The Heroin Diaries. And Hold on, The Dirt Now.
Yeah, Tattoos and Tequila was a book too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
A companion.
Bananas.
Companion piece.
You listen to the CD while you read the book. What the fuck? I have no idea what either one of those books have to offer. Maybe the listeners can tell us if it's worth torturing myself for. But I will tell you this. I do not recommend Tommy Lee's wife's podcast, hosted by Mrs. Tommy Lee.
This is bananas.
I don't know much about her other than that show. She's not the most, I don't know.
Eloquent.
Eloquent is a good word.
Bananas.
Someone who appreciates what she's got in life. She seems pretty kind of like basically like, I don't know. I'm not saying it very good. She sucks.
Bananas.
We have to look at the positive, though, and that is if we're graded on a bell curve, we all have A pluses now.
This is bananas.
Yeah, it does. It actually does make our show look better. I think every show on the planet was bumped up the charts once it entered.
Bananas.
Yes.
But anyway, check it out. It's called Worst First with Mrs. Tommy Lee, featuring the music from some John Hughes movie.
Yes, and just so you know, you cannot listen to it when you're driving because you have to facepalm yourself the entire time. So besides that, because I love Tommy Lee's grammar, has he tweeted anything lately? Any word crimes?
Oh, yeah. You know he has. There was a woman for Esquire that had the fucking nerve. By the way, Tommy Lee is a very traditional man. He thinks, you know, like that's one of the things about that story about the distributor cap. He was shocked that girls took the distributor cap out of his car because just, you know, automotive stuff is things guys do. And girls take punches from Tommy Lee.
Bananas.
Yeah, I mean, that's not.
Hey, come on, Zing. That's a traditional man. He's a traditional man in that sense. It's like, hey, I'll fix the car. You're going to taste a knuckle sandwich.
This is bananas.
This is really inspiring, this conversation.
Well, you know, he's never paid any consequences, so he can take a little shit from us, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, these broads don't know what they're talking about. Chicks equal trouble.
Bananas.
Anyway, this woman, Madison Vane is her name. She had a fairly negative review of the movie, talking a little bit about how Motley Crue may have set women back, once again, with The Dirt coming back out. Anyway, so Tommy Lee tweeted at her, your review in Esquire of The Dirt was laughable. Jeff and the cast killed it. It was our lives, we would know. Thumbs up. Besides, what are you, like 30-something? Little girl, you don't even know about this life. Thanks for trying, though. Yeah, you might as well have just said, like, you know, get back in the kitchen, bitch, or shut your mouth, ho.
No, he's all class. Yeah. He's amazing. He did the wrong "you're," didn't he?
He did, yeah. Well, it's a "you are," so it's not grammatically anything, even in the right. I would have loved to see it. Like, he had the whole thing written out, but it was too long, so he's looking for ways to shorten his tweet, you know?
Yeah,
like
get rid of an apostrophe.
Take the "you," the "y," and the "o" out. Yeah, that'll do it. Then I can fit in all these great zingers. That way I can still fit in my thumbs up emoji. Little psycho.
You know, every time that Tommy Lee has a grammatical error, his son punches him in the face.
Bananas.
Not just on Father's Day.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's that part in there where he talks about how filthy it is, and his wife is like, oh, I'm so glad you're not like that now. People, our house is spotless. I'm like, that's because the son comes over and cleans it up with Tommy. Happy Father's Day, Dad! You suck!
That's right.
Oh, my God, yes. Do you think Tommy would invite us over for Thanksgiving dinner or some kind of thing like that?
No.
Do a live remote in his Starbucks?
I just would love to have Thanksgiving dinner with him just wearing nothing but that jock strap he runs around in.
It doesn't suck.
You know, in all your jobs, you've had to have been a Starbucks barista at some point, right? I mean, you can run this little store. No name tags, though.
That's right. Fuck a name tag. I'll make your coffee. I'm not letting you know my name on a little rectangle piece of plastic. You're gonna have to ask me. So, you know, Baco, I have been in Denver for almost 3 years now. Can't believe it.
Unreal.
And in this podcast, we're coming up on 4 years soon. We'll talk about that upcoming. But can you believe the fact that we've been together for 4 years?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of relationships that have lasted this long. My marriage.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. My relationship with Kiss and the band, I suppose. Yeah. And I have two cats that are like 13 and 14, so that's wicked long.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, and I got to tell you, one of the main things that made me say, yes, I'll move to Denver was the whole concert scene. And I just want to lay out in the next 60 days what I'm looking forward to. And by the way, in Florida, this was the 10 years this many bands were not available in that time period. So you ready?
Let's run
down some of these. You ready? Here
we go. Let's do it.
The Struts and Glorious Sons. You've got Offspring, Bad Religion, Damn Things, and Crobot. Same concert. Are they coming to you too?
No, I'm so jealous of that one.
Okay. Bobo Flex is back. The Bronx.
Yeah, I'm seeing Texas. Bobo Flex soon.
Nice. The Bronx. Texas Hippie Coalition, Ghost, Shinedown, Bad Flower, Extreme, Queenstrike, and the Great Whites. That's at the funny little one. Kix is coming back, and one this next Friday that I'm very excited about is finally I get to see this guy, John Corabi, playing his own show at just a small bar down the street.
I did not know about that. That is amazing.
What?
I'm very jealous of that.
Yeah, man. He's actually playing now. Unfortunately, it's not his full band, but I still think it'd be cool if him acoustic and a small. I think he's got a basic band, but it's not the full like Motley Live
still
album. But no, he's going to play a little bit of Union, a little bit of Scream.
I'd almost prefer that. I'd almost prefer that over just hearing one record. But
yeah. What about you?
A lot of the same stuff. I can't remember the date off the top of my head. Bubble Flex is coming up. I'll probably be seeing the Glorious Sons and the Struts. I'm looking forward to that because it's at a venue that opened up about 2 years ago here, and it's an old theater that they renovated, and they turned it into a rock club. And it's ran by the same company that runs First Avenue there in Minneapolis. But they do a lot of indie rock bands, so this is the first time I've really had a chance to see a band I want to see there. So looking forward to that. Ghost, you mentioned though. I mean, are they coming recently? You said the next couple months. I mean, I got Ghost coming in like October.
Yeah, that's the only one that falls outside of that zone, but I figured I'd at least mention it.
No, there's a lot of really – I mean, this is the time of year where the concert calendar kind of kicks up. You know, even like my Facebook memories, you know, I start seeing more like, you know, posts from concerts I went to in years past. But, I can't remember if you missed anything on there. I mean, I was thinking about going to Anvil because Don Jameson's going on tour with them. But,
they were just here. I missed that one.
I'm not sure you missed it, but I haven't really decided on that. And then there was another show, Atreyu is coming with Wilson. And I figured I might go to that because I think I can get press credentials for that. And that way I could kind of at least see. Because now Wilson is now, you know, early on, I remember when the record came out, they were doing with like hip-hop and light rock artists. Now this is kind of a flat-out metal lineup with them in Motionless and White. I wonder if they're going to kind of dip back in their rock
that
catalog
is odd.
A little more.
Well, they were touring with Steel Panther, too, so they could do their jokey shit with them.
Sure, but they were, you know, that was still kind of when they were dealing with the record. I wonder how successful the record is, if they're all still really on board with this new change. It's almost been a year now. I'm kind of curious where they're at. So I don't think I'll pay for that one, though. So if I can't get press credentials, I'll probably skip it. But yeah, those other shows, I'm looking forward to it. So what about vinyl? Do you got anything new there you like to talk about?
I'll go through a couple of them. Like Amazon, every once in a while, I don't know how you set up alerts, but I just randomly have looked lately. And I grabbed Hotter Than Hell for $11.99 vinyl, ooh, including shipping. So that was insane. So I got it, and I realized I overpaid. It doesn't taste – it's still – I was like, oh, maybe it'll sound better. No, it doesn't sound better. But at least it's a novelty for me to have. But the ones I'm going to endorse is I have gone – since Bohemian Rhapsody came out, I've been diving into the Queen catalog. But I started with – and I got to tell you, it's $28, but this sounds incredible – on vinyl, and that is the soundtrack. It's a double LP. Bought it mostly because I had a credit at Best Buy, but that sounds phenomenal, and the package is really well done. But one of them that I found amusing was I bought one of my favorite albums, well, actually my top album, I think, of 2015 or 16, was The Biter's Electric Blood.
Okay.
And I bought that, again, like $12 on Amazon, $5 shipping, and it took like 2 weeks to get here. Do you know why?
Came from Africa.
That's a good guess. It came all the way from the UK. How do they make any money doing that? I thought that was insane. But anyway, so that's I really recommend that if you like just pure rock and roll. That sounds excellent. That's the new, basically the three new ones I've purchased. So, but I recommend all three of those. And lastly, another Kiss one. Again, Amazon just randomly they put these on sale. I got Lick It Up for $13 too.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, these are all the 180-gram reissued, and I have not even put that one on. Do you have that one, the new version, or you have it like multiple times? And you
know, I haven't bought that one, right? on the new ones, no.
All right, I'll let you know, though, but it looks solid.
Continue. I'm sure it's good, so.
Yeah. What about you?
You know, I've had a few coming up. I don't know if I talked about it on the show, but I know I told you I picked up that a Little Prison City double live vinyl when the Glorious Sons were here just a couple months, I don't know, about a month ago. You want to talk about spending a little bit of money. That was $50, but it's such a cool package. You know, I'm helping the band out, and the wife greenlit it. So it also came with a download card with a fuller concert than what you get on the vinyl, so that was kind of a nice little bonus. But it's just an amazing package. Looks and sounds, you know, just spectacular. So that's been fun to kind of put on a few different times. Also with the Dirt movie, I got a little Motley Crue fever. I picked up Shout at the Devil and Theater Pain on vinyl, and there were issues that I think are a few years old or something like that. Found them just at Barnes & Noble for $18 or something like that. But one thing I'm looking forward to that I haven't got yet that I pre-ordered back in February is a Smoke Vinyl reissue of the first Kiss album that is supposedly shipping here in a couple weeks. So looking forward to that. Because that was one of the ones that I knew I was going to get eventually on their reissue set, the debut record by Kiss. But when I saw that, they were doing kind of a limited run of like 700 or something like that. And then, you know, I'm a big fan of the way that Smoke Vinyl looked on that Ghost record we both picked up.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
And it sounded amazing, so I wasn't like trepidatious. You know, and that was about $30, but it's a limited edition piece, that kind of more of a collector item there. But, yeah, I'm looking to put that on the platter and give her a spin. So,
yeah, and yeah, I'm assuming you're going to buy Kiss World, which has the new – the latest version of the band on the front with songs that none of them played on.
Oh, man, I thought about it, but no, I'm not getting it, no. I honestly did. It was only like – the pre-sale was like $19.99 on it with the two whatever, those orange records. Julian Gill bought it, and it showed up snapped in half.
Like everything.
There's like a Nest camera on his door. You can see the postman brings it up, looks at it, smashes it over his knee. No, he had another little piece of typical Julian Gill Kiss luck. I saw him post on Facebook recently that something that he had shipped from – he went out to New York to see Kiss at Madison Square Garden and shipped some memorabilia back, and it got damaged in transit. So I don't think it's funny, but it's funny. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but
it is funny. I mean, come on. You got to realize that if he's buying anything direct, there's definitely a flag for anything that says Gill. They just beat the living fuck out of it. Between either the fulfillment center or FedEx, they just say, Gill. They just have a code to smash it.
I think FedEx swings it through Nashville. They're out of Memphis, right? But they go through Tennessee and they swing by Vinnie Vincent's house and have him piss on everything.
That's perfect.
Oh no! God bless you, Julian Gale. Why you of all people that would get bad luck? You're just a trumpeter for Kiss.
Yeah, you know what it is though? It's pretty much just statistics. He just buys so much stuff that
That's probably the true story, you know, because I've had shit show up at my house damaged before. But yeah, it seems an awful lot he talks about it, but no, whatever. Yeah, you're right. The guy's he's got a bottomless well of money. I mean, he must make 38 cents a month on streaming royalties to afford all this Kiss stuff.
So I kind of broke down everybody that's coming to Denver. And the reason I wanted to do that actually is the fact that it's unique because this summer, there's usually three major fests that come here and none of them are here for whatever reason. One of them is an AEG fest that is no more called High Elevation. It was here for 2 years and it is not coming back. So That's why a lot of these bands on tour are showing up, thankfully, at these smaller venues versus coming in those package fests. So in a way, that's positive. But there has been a lot of fallout lately. And I figured maybe I could hand it to you to kind of describe, you know, some of the major hard rock slash heavy metal fests out there.
Well, AEG was this company that kind of, when as festivals started kind of showing up around the country, they were one of the early, you know, promoters of these things and kind of took over these things. I know they basically, if I remember right, they were the ones that started Rock on the Range, and like Welcome to Rockville. They like the word rock, as you've mentioned a lot. They took over Rocklahoma. Rocklahoma was initially an independent thing where it was all like kind of 80s bands for 3 days. And then that's once AEG took it over, it just turned it into a typical AEG fest, which is, you know, maybe some of those bands, but you're going to get a lot of Korn, Disturbed, you know, Five Finger Death Punch, Slipknot, Slayer, that kind of stuff coming through on that. And, you know, they eventually started branching out, and they did the world's largest, loudest month, which was May, which included the Northern Invasion up here in Somerset, Wisconsin. And Danny Wimmer Productions came in at some point. DWP, their logo or whatever. You know, I don't know, not quite a decade ago, but whatever the timeline is, they started partnering and working together on these things. And they've had a sort of a falling out. And I think DWP kind of had a plan all along to eventually take these things over. And that's why, you know, Rock in the Range is now Sonic Temple. And I know there's still court shit to be settled on this kind of crap, but I'm pretty sure that's why Northern Invasion isn't happening here, and that's why High Elevation isn't happening out where you're at. Didn't they change the name of Welcome to Rockville? Even Louder Than Life, like, well, that just changed locations, but it did turn into a three-day fest from a two-day thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure when all this shadiness went down, but we'll get into that and kind of discuss it. But I do know that one of the reasons that High Elevation didn't exist last year, which is in September, is that I think Danny Wimmer Presents is exclusive, has Louder Than Life is only his thing. AEG is not that one.
Okay.
And I remember that High Elevation, I said, like, why isn't it happening this year when I reached out, because I'd gone there before to my contact, and they said, well, Louder Than Life took all the bands. So that might have been part of the beginning part of it, is them just kind of saying, we're doing our own thing versus a just trying to get all the money on a couple things that cause conflicts with current AEG fests. I found that interesting before all this went down.
And so maybe there's a way they can end up improving this, but we all know this comes down to really nothing but more dollars out of goers' pockets at the end of the day. It's just going to be a little more expensive, like it will be every year regardless. But even if DWP does improve on it, it just seems kind of like they just kind of came in and pushed AEG out of the way by partnering with them, and that's kind of fucked. That was reading through the notes and that stuff is kind of how I read it. You know what I mean? And I ended up that was my supposition when it first came out, because like Ashton Magnuson or whatever the PR firm that handles all these festivals, you know, we've both worked with as far as getting credentialed for things. Their website listed all these festivals that we're familiar with as former clients, and including AEG just as a company, and they were still partnered with DWP. So something happened there. It just seemed like it was clear there was a split between those two.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not good for the fan, because like for Sonic, for Sonic Temple, which is Rock in the Range at same place. This Mapfire Stadium, which is a soccer stadium. In basically Ohio State campus, right outside of it. That one, I remember the whole thing was, we're rebranding it. It's a whole different experience. It's called Sonic Temple. And all it is exactly the same bands as what it was before. Different name, but now it's more expensive. The tickets are dramatically higher. And the whole thing about this, which I think that we've talked about at all, is what was Northern Invasion year one? One day?
Yeah, it was one day, yeah.
Then it's 2 days. Then it's 3 days.
Yeah.
Then it's 3 days, and then the camping is out of control, and they do this. They keep ramping it up. I mean, it's just it's not good for the rock fan. And I have my like I just said, I have my opinions about fests in general. Is that when they go on, then those bands you do want to see, like I went through that huge list. The only time they show up in your town is when they're part of these packages.
Yeah.
You know, so what is your kind of, I don't know what you want to talk about, the split, or do you want to talk about just your thoughts in general? Is this good or bad, or how do you think this is going to end up?
I think
Danny Wimber Productions is going down. There seems like enough to know that there wasn't a buyout. Okay, so we should say, though, that they also said, let's work out a split. And he said, no, I'm not interested at all. I'm not going to do Fest anymore. And then he did a Fest.
Yeah, that's a key part there. Yeah, that was one of the things that, like, AEG actually tried to work out a separation agreement where they could probably both take some territory, I would assume. And Danny said, no, I'm just out of the game. And then he booked festivals on the same weekends
at
the same places where he was doing them with AEG. That's why it just seems kind of shady and stuff. As far as where I think it's going, I think it's just another sad, pathetic corporate thing. You know, I mean, I'll bitch about Apple and the iPod basically being the first, like, don't worry about the music, worry about the player. You know, who cares what it sounds like? Buy our shit. And this whole festival thing was really cool for a while, but then it just turned into a way to sell Zippos, and suddenly you got, like, Craft Beer Town, and you're doing all these things to just get people in, don't let them out, and make it super fucking expensive. Hey, we got lockers for a reasonable price of $20 a day. But hey, you get to charge your phone, which you're going to need, right? You know, it's just all this stuff. And the consumer just keeps getting wrapped up, sucked in, and just delved into this kind of shit. It's like these big shows and Ticketmaster reselling their own tickets. You know, all these things are just kind of sadly tied together, and it's just another way that there never will really ever be a great music scene again, I just don't think. Not in a commercially viable, huge sense. You're not going to get another Led Zeppelin or Guns N' Roses or Beatles. You know what I mean? You're going to get a lot of great young bands that don't make fucking shit for money, and you're going to have these festivals that eventually, I don't know, I don't understand what's going on in sports, Lou, so maybe there's enough rich people that'll just go to Coachella. You know what I mean? It's just like, because that's what they want. They want uber-rich people to show up and take pictures and fuck the music. That's what the festival promoters want. And I just don't see how you get that with a rock audience. Eventually, I mean, they've priced the fans out of the stadiums, and yet they're still full when it comes to sports. I don't understand that business model. I get that they're all making a shit ton of money. I just don't know where it's coming from. If I had a shit ton of money, that's not where I'd be spending it.
I completely agree. And the other thing about it is I think I'm going to rant too, Baco. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I think in a smaller sense, that's what's happening here with these clubs. How many times have we bitched about the fact that these club owners, they start pushing the fans away because they put five fucking openers up there because they want to get you in there early to drink their swill and do all the stuff. And then they put the band you really want to see on at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday. Fuck that,
no
man.
Shit.
I will still get there early and drink your beverages. But God damn it, I don't want to see Fist Fight and Circus or whatever these crappy bands are. Okay? That's the same thing as a Fest, just in a smaller capacity and with even worse bands. Don't have me sit through 19 bands to finally listen to whatever the headliner is at a Fest. And that's what, like right now, Louder Than Life, Guns N' Roses have been mentioned as the headliner. And you know what? It's going to be nothing but in this moment bands besides them.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
Well, how about Chicago Open Air? We didn't even talk about that. Now, that's a festival that turned it, I think it's down to 2 days. Maybe it's one. I can't remember. But it is like five bands. And the prices are a little higher than it used to be for 3 days of like a typical festival. Second stage, you got 20 bands a day, right? It's fucking five bands for $200.
Baco, I think we figured this out. We cracked the code. It's a profit thing.
Yeah, these people are just trying to make money.
Pick up my guitar to lay the message down about the crazy kind of things that make the world go around. Like the money, the power, the glory on high. Everybody's living with a big, big lie. We'll be right back.
They keep talking about experiences like what you're talking about, the craft thing. That's because that way they can say your bargain beer is $8 for a Bud Light. Your craft is $12. It's a whole thing. It's the menu that shows the value. That's the only reason they're adding all this bullshit. It's too much, Baco. I'm telling you, it's degrading.
The Gene Simmons Vault experience. The music is shit, but you get to hang out with me for 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes, but at least you leave with something you can lock up your valuables in.
It doesn't suck.
I think it would be funny if somebody actually broke into your house and you had to tell the police that all your valuables were locked up in a Gene Simmons vault. And they took it.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, my birth certificate's in there, my will.
And those 10 CDs worth $200 each.
And a doll.
A doll, yeah. Holding a bag of money.
It's a guy in a suit with weird hair. Do you know who? Have you seen Family Jewel? No. Well, he's in Kiss, so.
We'd like to add that to the things to look for.
You're sitting there with the insurance adjuster going through everything you have in your Gene Simmons vault.
Now, hold on for a second. I want to make sure. You're talking to State Farm. You're telling me that this vault was valued at $2,000. What was in it? 10 CDs? Your CDs aren't worth anything right now. We're not going to pay out that $2,000. I'm sorry. We're not getting this approved.
Yeah, you need that Farmers commercial where it's like, we've seen it and we've covered it. They have like a story of
somebody
like a deer like running through an ice cream cone machine or something. It's like, we covered it. And now it's like, I had all my valuables locked in a Gene Simmons vault.
We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
That's right.
Oh, but hey, back to this ticketing thing. There was an article in the paper this weekend, which is kind of a little fresh on my mind. They actually have a name for the way they sell tickets now. You know, like when you go to see Guns N' Roses and the guy next to you got the ticket for $300 less than you did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called dynamic pricing. That's a really fancy way to tell you, the consumer, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I've often thought about like asking the guy next to me what they paid just to make him mad.
Really? I just bought mine at the gate for $10.
That's right. Next, we're giving them away up front, you fuck.
Oh, man. Just have that nice little smug grin on your face when you do it.
That's right. I got press passes. I don't even work for the press.
Oh, man.
I got a podcast.
Love.
as our listeners know, we are very topical and we cover the tough news stories, the things that other podcasts are afraid to bring up and discuss.
We're talking about you, Michael Brandvold.
I don't have a brand.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Coward!
Now, as we do, every once in a while I look through Blabbermouth or other sites because we need material for the show, and I'm always worried that we're going to run out of material. And then one, just
I'm always going through Blabbermouth looking for mentions of me.
In the comments, that's right. Yeah. That you want to see your interviews retweeted. I understand, reposted or whatnot. But anyway, so I'm looking through all of it, and I find one that says basically that Matt LeBlanc is it LeBlanc?
LeBlanc, I believe. Joey. Hey. Okay.
Joey. He's actually like the modern day.
How you doing?
Yeah, he's like Fonzie part two, isn't he, kind of?
No, because Fonzie was smart and cool. Joey is just cool.
How you doing?
Dumb and...
Although, yeah, Joey looked at food the way Fonzie looked at his hair. You just don't touch it.
Yeah, I do remember that my girlfriend at the time identified the fact that Joey never wears a belt. Mm. That's his style, just so you know.
That
Joey,
whole show was very fashion forward.
I guess so, yes. Anyway, so...
I thought Lisa Kudrow was the hottest. How about you?
I think so, yeah. And she never went anywhere.
You think she'd like to do a Devil's Three-Way with us?
I'll do it without you. I don't need you or anybody else.
I think so. I mean, what else does she get? What else is she going to do?
Yeah, I mean, not another Billy Crystal movie? Come on.
So anyway, so Matt is promoting whatever bullshit he has going on right now. And he goes to Conan O'Brien. And he brings up the fact that at one point he ran into Sharon Osbourne, mentioned how much he liked Ozzy, and I'm not sure where the transition was, but she basically said, "Hey, you wanna you basically wanna fuck both Ozzy and me together." I'll be there
for you. Oh, he wanted a Devil's Three-Way with Ozzy and Joey. Well, not to be outdone, when Wendy Dio saw that, she came out with news that she had made the same proposition regarding herself and Ronnie to Bronson Pinchot.
May I offer you something to drink? Wine, a cocktail, espresso?
Balky? Yeah. Get you right for I got to tell you, that is the perfect stranger. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my Lord.
How would you like to see Balky? Did you know that little secret? Did you know that Balky, to get ready, to get into the zone, he sits in his own hand for an hour right before they start shooting?
to be the perfect stranger.
That's right.
I got to tell you, Loose Cannon, when I saw this headline, I immediately flashed back to where, you know, we just started riffing on basically like every – during the Black Sabbath episode, we ended up like basically using banging Sharon Osbourne as a punchline. It seems like the universe is listening, and it's like, and Joey from Friends is like, "Hey, you know who tried to get me to? I almost had the chance to bang Sharon." I'll be there for you. Oh man, this is gold, baby, gold! A three-way with Ozzy and fucking Joey from Friends. I'll be there
for you. I mean, I think it's amazing. Her sexual appetite is just incredible. I mean, especially since she looks like the person that's the manager at Denny's when you have an issue with your eggs. I'll be there for you. She got the same haircut.
She looks like the night manager at Denny's, the overnight manager. I'll be there
for you. That's what I mean.
Yeah, she's not working day shift. She's not like in the office doing the books. No, she's...
And she is mean.
She's smoking cigarettes at the counter at 3 in the morning. I'll be there for you. Ringing out the three people that come through.
You do not want to show up late for your shift when Sharon Osbourne is the night manager.
You might end up with Ozzy's ball sack in your face.
This is a bone of contention in our house.
Oh, I want to know what Ozzy thought about this. And, he's not doing so good right now, but maybe he's up for it now. I mean, fuck it.
Yeah,
Blue pills. He's got a friend's marathon on. He's like, "Sharon, this is as good as we're going to get." I'll be there
for you. I don't know if that story is real or if Matt just didn't have anything to talk about.
Right now, Ozzy's in bed, like laid up, recuperating, and he's remembering that one year that Sharon bought him like the season one of Friends on DVD and said, "I just thought you might like to check this show out. Maybe we could watch it together." I'll be there for you. It's too bad this never happened. At least he's pretending it didn't happen. It would have been a great episode of Friends. What would they have called it if they did an episode like that?
Oh, sure. They'd call it the one where Joey throws a shot into Sharon Osbourne while Ozzy snorts ants out of his taint. Work's not dead.
But if you're into that kind of thing, give Sharon Osbourne a call. Todd Cunningham just messaged me asking me for his phone number or for my phone number because he lost his contacts. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a funny way to prove that he's not kidnapped in a Craigslist basement.
Okay.
Maybe that'll be it. It's like, prove it's really you. If you were kidnapped, what kind of basement would you be in?
Are you currently in somebody's basement with a $100 minimum to buy albums?
Yeah, if you're in a Craigslist basement, what's the minimum purchase? I need you to prove it's you. Some guy with a gun to Todd's head, like, what's this fucking mean? Just type in $100.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.